Hey, Alvin, I was struck. I'm sorry, were you?
No, go no.
I haven't been around Pop much, and in his press conference after the game,
he's the best.
He was like surly for 15 straight minutes.
He's the absolute best. My sisters were totally intimidated by him because they said they see him on TV, and then he walked by me after the game, and he was going into the press conference. He goes, "Stop gloating," you know, and my sisters just went, you know, and I go, "He's kidding," yeah. You know, but that's, yeah.
It's kind of his way, I mean.
It is his way, and I think more so than anything, you know, he has no tolerance for just fluff,
right?
You know,
right.
I mean, he just really doesn't, he just wants it to be direct, and that's it, and that's the way he's always been,
right.
You know, he's always been that way, so. Long before he won championships, he was that way.
How is he to work with?
Oh, he's great. He's great to work with. You know, I tell you, he's one of the most intelligent guys and really, you know, an eccentric guy, really. What he likes to do and the things that he's interested in and things like that. He's so much more than basketball.
Right.
And to me, like I said, I just think as far as coaching and what he brings to the table and you know, like timeout, every timeout, I tell you, it scares the heck out of you because you think they're going to get a basket some kind of way, you know.
Has he impacted your approach?
Huh?
Has he impacted your approach?
Oh, I think everybody has that I've worked for or been around, you know. I was talking to Doug last night, and, you know, with me, I try to make sure that every timeout we get a good shot. You know, that's the thing, I think. And even Doug said, you know, a lot of the coaches – you know, a lot of the coaches are judged on what you do out of timeouts. And so I think it's important to try to put guys in a situation where they feel like when they walk back out there that, you know, we'll find a way to get a basket. And we were the best team in the league out of timeouts. So, you know, I don't know what that means, but it means you got pretty good players, I think.
Yeah. You know? Well, that is a direct reflection on you, right?
No, but I just, you know, I just think he's a real detailed guy, but not to the point where it's overbearing. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he's a real detailed guy, but he doesn't take it to the extreme, I think. And his guys know. And the other thing I learned from him is that, you know, I think it's really important to be direct. You know, I don't like coaches that say, "We got to rebound." And I tell Amari, "You have to rebound," or "You have to rebound," or "You've got to guard him." And I think players do appreciate that a lot more when you're direct in your approach and what you're trying to tell them to do. You know, and I mean, because I'm telling you, when you say, "We've got a rebound," they look around and say, "Yeah, you know, everybody's got," it's never them. You know that. So I think it's important to just, you know, call their name and let them know. You don't have to go crazy with them, but I think it's important. And I think that's what Pop, if I got anything from him, I think that's what he does more so than anything. And I also think that there is a, if you listen to his timeouts, there's also a little bit of sarcasm and there's also a little bit of fun in what he says to the players. So I think he always have them in a pretty comfortable state when they go back out there. I don't know if you saw the exchange last week with, he said, "Okay, the next person misses a free throw, got to buy me a car." And Tim said, "What color do you want?" You know, he said, "What color do you like?"
Right.
I mean, just you know, in the midst of a game. And I just think that, you know, that's probably the biggest thing that I got from it.
TNT last night caught you when Amari had that offensive rebound to pull it back out.
Yeah.
When you guys came back to the huddle, they kind of caught you guys just talking and patting him on the cheek. I mean, is that play that he did something that he's learned?
Well, what we told him is that he got an offensive rebound before and tried to stick it back in the basket and didn't go in and they got a rebound. And I just said to him, you know, it's really important right now. We got the clock on our side. Unless you can dunk it back in, let's use 24 more seconds. And the very next play, you know, he got it and did that. And I just, you know, I just think it's just the whole maturation process that he's had over the year. And I just, you know, I'm really proud of him. You know, it's kind of crazy. It's like almost a dad, you know, that you know, see this son maturing and all of these things that's good and everything that he's kind of gotten done. And, you know, he's learned to not get frustrated. He gets right on the edge, but then he comes back, you know, by not getting the ball or not being able to finish play. So I am really proud of the progress that he's made, and I think he understands that. And I, you know, I don't mind telling. I tell guys that. I'm not this hard-ass guy that, you know, I mean, I think guys ought to know that when you feel that way about them. Because they know when I feel the other way. I think you guys are pretty aware of that.
Yeah, you were out in the first quarter pretty good. I got a snippet of what you were saying about Grant Howell will always be your favorite player. Can you talk specifically about what it is you appreciate so much about this guy?
I just think I like everything about him. You know, if I had a daughter, I would kill for her to be able to find the guy that's half of what he is. You know, I think he's a class guy. I think he's one of the best human beings I've ever been around in my life. You know, he plays extremely hard, competes his butt off. You can ask him to do anything on the floor, and he'll try to do it. And I just think he's a complete team guy. And you know, those guys doesn't exist very much, and especially. The play at the caliber that he plays, you know, usually those guys are guys that are not very talented, and you know, that's their way of kind of staying around. With him, you know, he was and the only thing that I really truly regret is that I don't think anybody has any idea how great he could have been. And you know, and he doesn't spend any time worrying about that or reminiscing or thinking or wondering why or anything like that. But I just know that he truly could have been one of the all-time great players in this league.
How many super guys who were at that level? I mean, I think he finished, what, third in MVP voting that one year?
Michael Jordan and Karl Malone.
How many guys at that level do you know that would – can you think of any examples of guys who would remake their game and do what he's doing?
Not do what he's done. I can't think of one that I could go back and say, well, this guy did or that guy did. You know, from what he went to. And I don't think anybody realizes, you know, the injury that he had then. No one really talks about the staph infection. That thing right there was the thing that, I mean, it could have been disastrous for him. So.
And you've asked him, obviously, to take on important defensive.
Too much, in my opinion, but he never complained. That's my stuff. It's going. That's me. That's my stuff. I didn't bring my bag down. So.
Can you help with this?
That could be enough for you.
No, I got one. I'm not Kiki Vandeweghe. Yeah, that's a 10-day trip thing.
That's hilarious.
You know, I don't know. We ask him to do a lot for a guy, you know, and he doesn't like to talk about his age or anything. But you know, you think about guarding Manu Ginobili. That is probably as tough a matchup as you can play against. You know, and then we ask him to guard Paul Pierce and Kobe and LeBron, and you know, I mean, that's tough on a guy. You know. But he does it, never complains, does the best job he possibly can, and then, and when he doesn't do a good job, find out a way that he can do a better one.
Can I keep your guys' edge?
Oh, I think they understand that, you know, this team right here, we just keep emphasizing the fact that, you know, this team right here is never going to give up. They don't have it in them. They really don't. They do not have it in them. I mean, everybody buried them in the playoffs before the playoffs started. Everybody buried them. In the fact that, are they going to really make the playoffs? And everybody buried them after the, you know, first game in Dallas. Guys, they're not going anywhere, you know. And we keep saying our theme against these guys is that no way, they will not go quietly in the night. And they won't, you know. We understand that going down there. And we understand that we have to play at a real high level to try to get a game down there. It will not be easy, and we'll have to play better than we played in any one of these two games.
When you got Jared Dudley, did you expect that he could have the impact that he has in individual games like last night's?
Well, you know, I knew that he was a real smart player. I don't think you can be, you know, ACC player of the year in that league and not be have something going for you, you know. And when we first got him, I liked him. I thought he did a lot of stuff in practice. You know, Terry decided not to play him. I when I took over, I decided to play him. I thought that he was one of those guys that could help your team. And I thought that if we were going to develop our bench, that he was a guy that probably was going to be a key guy as far as developing your bench, because I thought he was that guy that could kind of be a glue guy for that second unit. And we talked early on about that. Hey, Jared, you're going to have to be a leader on that second unit. And we're going to have a young point guard probably and a couple other young players out there. And you're going to have to, even though you're young, you're going to have to be solid in what you're doing and be able to lead that unit. And that's kind of what he's done. He's been the face of that second team, really.
Do you,
Do you win that game last night if he doesn't come in there and just
get all those rebounds? No, to be honest with you, no. I shouldn't just say him because I think Lou also did a great job. And if you look at the stat sheet, there's nothing on the stat sheet that says that. But I think that the energy that those two guys bought in made everybody pick up their energy level, because I talked to him about it early. I didn't think that we were playing very hard from the standpoint of, it wasn't that we weren't playing hard. I should say that we weren't really focused. We were kind of sleepwalking a little bit. And that's why I told him that we better wake up, because they're not going anywhere. And I thought those guys really kind of gave us a wake-up call with the offensive rebounding and the hustle plays and coming up with loose balls. And I'm not sure if we would have won without them.
Popovich said that. Showing that playoff experience might be a little overrated, because there's, outside of Channing and Lou, there's not any.
Well, I do think that, you know, in certain situations it helped, but you know, you got to play hard and you got to compete, and that's what make you a good playoff team. And I think right now we were in a position where we did not shoot the ball well, and usually that spelled doom for us. And I think what our guys decided is that, okay, we're not shooting it well, then we got to find another way to win the game. That's what I like about this team right here. And, you know, Paul and I, we talk all the time. We won probably 8 games this year where we didn't shoot the ball well at all and was in the low 40s or something. We were still able to win some games, you know, doing that. And that wasn't the case in the past. And I think it's because these guys are starting to take pride in their defense. And, you know, they're really disappointed that, you know, San Antonio shot what they shot the other night, because, you know, we like to try to see if we can, you know, 44 is where we've had all the playoff teams, and we'd like to try to stay there, but they got off to such a good start that we weren't able to do that.
Steve made that comment about the team. He's never been on a team where so many people contributed. Is that something that you guys, does that surprise you that you've been able to develop so many contributors? I mean, you've got 9 or 10 guys.
Well, I think what has happened, I really do think what has happened is that everybody feel engaged in the game. And I think everybody feel like they have a vested interest in the game. And so everybody tries to step up, but they don't do it in such a way that they try to do too much. You know, I think these guys do a great job of letting the game come to them. Even Jay Rich, you know, we got him to the point now where he realizes that he has to be our guy. And, you know, we told him that he has to be either our first or second leading scorer at all the games. And I think he feels comfortable now that, you know, I can take some shots that I normally probably wouldn't have, but that's his role on this team. And it was tough for him to accept that early on, you know, coming in here, and we had Shaq and we had Steve and we had Amari and we had Grant. He really didn't know where he fit in. And I think he understands now that this is a really unselfish group, and they probably need him to take more shots and want him to take more shots.
How about Channing's shots last night? Yeah, in the series so far, I mean, some of those were pretty contested.
Well, he was, and I think what happened is that I thought our guys did a good job of just executing and then taking what the defense gives them. If they come up with Channing, then Amari was open, we got a couple of dunks. You know, if they stay back with Amari, then Channing comes up, he had a couple of 3-pointers. And then Steve just made really good decisions, you know.
He's turned out to be quite a find in terms of, some people call him one of the best signings of the offseason.
Well, yeah, considering he had 23, you know, his whole career, and I don't know what he's probably approaching
almost
200
in the playoffs,
now. Yeah. So, yeah, so it was, and I think it's, you know, we would be, you know, it would be very untruthful for us to say, well, yeah, we thought he would do exactly that, you know. We thought he could be good. We had no idea that he would be able to contribute that much to us. You know, we know that he would be pretty solid and thought that he could shoot the ball. I don't think in our wildest dream we thought that he would be, what has he got, 170-something?
179 or
yeah, I think, yeah, you know, so we never anticipated
your teams,
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were looking for that, we're hoping for that fourth score, the 4-game 2. You got 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, I mean, we stepped up, and I think that's been really the difference in the two games, really, is that we've had somebody, you know, in the first game, our big three just played great. Their big three played great. I thought last night, you know, we had some guys that stepped up, and we did a pretty good job of taking their, you know, their secondary players out of the game, and then did a good job on Manu. When you do that, you got a chance to win. But, you know, he just scares you. Manu just scares you. He makes that 3 over by our bench, and you just don't know if that's the start of 5 in a row or anything like that. But, you know, I thought that our guys probably defended him about as well as you could. You know, I don't think you could play him any better than Grant and JD and what Jay Rich and those guys did against him. I just don't know if you can play him any better than that.
You'd rather live with the 11 assists than him going off.
Oh, yeah, because I think when he gets to the paint, he's almost impossible. Thought we did a good job of limiting his paint drives. Now, he made the plays and got the ball to the right people. But just to kind of keep him, yeah, just to keep him out of the paint, I think become very important.
What do you think you've done well in late game defense? Because even though they shot 50 plus, even though they shot 50 plus, when you needed the stops and needed to get it out of certain guys' hands late.
Yeah, I think the fact that we limited Tony Parker's dribble penetration and we limited Jermano's dribble penetration. You know, he had 11 assists, but a lot of them was because we trapped him, and he just made the right play for somebody to make a shot. And, you know, as long as he's not in there making, you know, 5-6 layups and then getting 8-9 assists, you know, I think we can weather the passes that he made. Because if he's not driving to the basket, then we don't get in foul trouble, and we keep him off the foul line. So,
can you talk about the decision to go under the screens on Tony early in the game and then – later in the fourth quarter, Amari was trapping him pretty effectively?
Well, I mean, that's just the way we decided to do it, you know. I don't think you can give any those guys anything for a steady diet, you know. They're just too good. They've seen everything. So we just try to keep them off balance by doing different things.
It seemed like earlier in the season it was all about simplifying the defensive coverages. And do you feel like the team is now ready to execute differently?
No, we still are very simple. We either do this or this. That's it. You know, we don't really get into anything else. And we've got two things that we try to do against it, and that's basically it. And we try to get good at those two things.
Rob been able to practice at all this morning?
He just worked out a little bit and stuff like that. We'll take a look in San Antonio.